Welcome to the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Right this way. Your therapist will see you shortly. In the meantime, sit back, kick your feet up on the couch, and get ready to focus on adding very valuable tools to your marriage toolkit. And now your host and marriage counselor, David Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you guys doing today? If you are listening to this podcast, this is the day that the solar eclipse happened, and I hope you guys got a chance to check it all out. Anyway, I just wanted to say I hope y'all enjoyed the view, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast. If you are new to this place, I am your host. My name is David Taylor, and this is a place where you are going to get credible and tangible marriage-related information from a licensed mental health counselor. So you're not going to get information from just somebody who thinks he has good ideas. But I've been in the lab studying, researching, learning, educating myself, and trying to sharpen my saw. Why? So that I can provide this type of information for your marriage. And over the past 19 years of my clinical experience, I believe that I've discovered some things that, if you can apply them to your marriage, will make your marriage healthy. It's going to take it to the next level. And so I want you to see these episodes as a masterclass in marriage, where I take a psychological and practical approach to marriage education and enrichment. Now, this is episode number 15. I know I'm on 15, y'all. I'm consistent. I'm proud of myself, because the last time I tried to be consistent, I made it up to 7 episodes, and then I took a hiatus, and then I did, you know, some other podcasts, and I didn't make it this far. And every week I have the same feeling. You know what? Let's just take a week off. Let's just kick the can down the road, and you can do another episode in a week. But you know what? I owe it to you guys to be consistent, and maybe at the end of the season, whenever this season ends, we'll recalibrate and we'll reevaluate to see if this is something that I'm going to continue to do. But for now, I'm locked in. So this is episode number 15. And in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about another topic that this is crucial for helping you to understand where you are in your relationship with your spouse and why things are going the way that they are going. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the 6 stages of marriage. Actually, in today's episode, this is part 1 of a 2-part series. So in this episode, I'm actually going to just focus on the first 3 stages, because there's a lot of information. And then in episode number 16, I'll be focusing on the last 3 stages of this particular series. But I want you to pay attention, because see, in my private practice, I get tons of people coming to my office or to work with me virtually. And a lot of times they're coming to me because they're dealing with certain issues. And I realized that, wait a minute, perhaps if you understood where you were and why you were there, you probably wouldn't be reacting the way you're reacting, because certain things are normal depending on the stage that you're in. And then there are things that are abnormal based off of the stage that you're in. It's kind of similar to the 4 seasons of marriage that Dr. Chapman talks about. But in that book, he talks about there are 4 seasons: fall, spring, winter, and summer. And if you don't know the season that you are in, you could be expecting, for instance, spring results, but you're in winter. And if you're in winter, you can't do what you would normally do in spring. And what I found is that a lot of times people, they will be struggling in marriage because they find themselves in the season that they're either not prepared for or they're not anticipating and they don't expect. And so because of that, they are treating the fall or winter as if it should be summer or spring. Well, you're not going to get the same proceeds of a spring in a winter. But there are certain things you can do in winter that you should be doing in winter that you can't do in spring. And so if you mismanage the season, you could be making a whole lot of mistakes just because of ignorance. Remember, I talk about ignorance is the main reasons why marriages fail. And so even if you just knew that, okay, we're in winter, then I could shift my expectations so that I'm not expecting spring results in a winter climate. And the same is the case with the 6 stages of marriage. Like I said, I'm just going to talk about stages 1, 2, and 3 today, but I found that if you are in stage 1, 2, or 3, which, by the way, are the most difficult stages. Well, okay, 2 and 3 are difficult. 1 is pretty easy. But if you're in one of those stages, but you're expecting stage 6 results, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be unhappy. And you're going to start resenting your spouse and maybe doubting that you made the right choice to marry. And so I want to give you information about the first 3 stages. And this is really crucial to understand because especially if your marriage is new or you've been married for 2, 3, maybe 5 years, this information, if you can apply it and you can understand it, it will be tremendously beneficial to helping you to move out of some of these difficult stages. So go ahead and get your pen and pad. I want you to take some notes because this is going to be an interesting topic. And we're going to start with the first 3 stages. The next week, we're going to do the last 3 stages. So please make sure you're sharing this with your spouse. You're talking about this stuff. If it's relevant to you, if it's relevant to someone else, share it with them. Either way I go, I'm about to dive in. So let's get started with the first stage. Now, the first stage of a marriage is called the love addict stage. Yeah, I think you guys know where I'm going with this one. It's called the love addict stage. This is, in my opinion, the most dangerous stage of a relationship and can have the most detrimental effects on your marriage. As a matter of fact, most people get married because of this stage, and then they get divorced when this stage disappears. So this stage, the love addict stage, usually lasts about 3, sometimes 4 years, but usually that 3-year, 2 to 3-year limit is when this stage starts to evaporate. Now, did you know that research has shown that the brain chemistry of someone during the in love phase is very similar to that of a drug addict or a compulsive gambler? See, there is an increase of chemicals such as dopamine and oxytocin that stimulate the pleasure centers of your brain. And being in love, and I'm using air quotes there, being in love, remember, this is the love addict stage. So being in love is very similar to having OCD, or what we call obsessive compulsive disorder, right? You can actually look at the brain scans and you'll see very similar how the brains look someone who's in the in love stage and someone who's dealing with OCD or have an addiction of some sort. And instead of being obsessively compulsive about a certain behavior, you're obsessively compulsive about another person. And I remember, right, with Mandy, when we were in our love addict stage, man, I would look at her picture all the time. I was fascinated with her. I was obsessed with her. And when I first met her, I practically worshiped the ground that she walked on. I mean, I literally believed that she was perfect and that I was extremely fortunate and the luckiest guy in the world to be in a relationship with her. We talked for like 18 hours on the phone. It was the most bizarre, longest time that I've ever talked to anybody. I thought that we could talk about anything for however long and we would never run out of things to talk about. But we talked forever when we first started to date. And the love addict stage is full of physical attraction and romance. And in this stage, you are usually more physically and sexually attracted to your spouse than anything else, if you're honest, okay? Now, remember this. Just because you are attracted to them, that doesn't mean that you are compatible with them. See, the problem is a lot of people mistake compatibility for attraction. And just because you're attracted to them and you feel all those chemicals firing off in your brain and you get the butterflies in your gut and you just, you're obsessed and you, let's just stay on the phone and breathe. Right? Y'all remember, we all did that when we were younger. Y'all remember that, right? Just because you're attracted to them, does that mean you're compatible with them? And I'll go a step further. And just because you guys are compatible to a certain degree, doesn't mean they're suitable for you. And you should only marry someone that's suitable, Not just compatible, but suitable. Obviously, you want compatibility. That has to be there. But suitability is even more important. I could talk about that at a later time. Let me stay focused. Now, you may have to work overtime to make your marriage work because you mistook sexual attraction for long-term compatibility. And so, okay, let me, because I want to go and give you a lot of information about these things. And some of these other stages that I'm going to discuss in a minute will require more attention to detail. So let me give you a few final thoughts on this first stage. Now, again, this love addict stage is all about attraction. It's all about the physical and sexual attraction. Remember, how we define love over here in America is completely different than a lot of other cultures. And if you look at, you know, some of the like Greek and Hebrew languages, they're when they defined a word, it had levels. And so you remember when I talked about the different types of love. We have eros, storge, agape, phileia, and there's a lot more, but just those four main types. Well, eros is what's usually being fired off in this stage. So in the love addict stage, you're using a lot of eros, a lot of romance and attraction, and eroticism comes from the root word eros. But that all of that is firing off in that first stage, right? And so you're mistaking the attraction and the eros for agape. And as a matter of fact, most people will try to give agape because of eros. And that's just not how it works. Okay. But I want to give you three hooks that accompany this first love addict stage. So here are three things that often come hand in hand with stage one. The first thing is lust. The second thing is romance. And the third thing is attachment. Now, oh gosh. I want to give you so much more. Just look, y'all gonna have to come meet up with us when we do our workshops. Because I got so much information, but let me say this part. Depending on your past experiences, any one of these triggers or hooks can be activated, thus greatly influencing the reason for your decision to get in the relationship in the first place. So let's just say you have a longing for connection and acceptance. The romance hook may be the one that's easily activated in you. Let's say you grew up with mommy or daddy issues like myself because there were unmet needs that developed at that time. Well, guess what? Your attachment hook will most likely be activated with that. And go back and listen to the previous episode where I talk about the four attachment styles. That's very powerful information if you can apply it. Perhaps in a later episode, I'll talk about what to do with the attachment styles if you have a particular insecure attachment style. But for now, go check that out. And let's say you dealt with some type of inappropriate sexual contact. You've been molested. Let's say you came across pornography at a young age. I know I found pornography at 12. Let's say you just learned something really bad about physical contact. Well, you may have your lust need activated or that lust hook activated. Right. And usually it's a combination of one of those three that make it easy to get caught up in the love addict stage. So for now, just understand that there's the very first stage is the love addict stage. And this is the most dangerous because this is what usually compels people to make long-term decisions off of this. Okay. And I could tell you stories, but I ain't got that kind of time. All right. Let me go to stage two because this stage is, oh man, this is very important. Most people don't even realize that this stage exists. So stage two of the six stages is called the mirror stage. And in this stage, the power struggles are the most prevalent and the most destructive. I'll talk about what that looks like in a minute. This is where both doubt and reluctance are first introduced into the relationship. And just because you have doubts and just because you have reluctance for the relationship doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do something about it, but at least you start to feel and experience some of this because the love addict stage starts to wear away. And remember, I said that it usually lasts about 3 years. So around year two, year three of the relationship, depending on how long you've been in relationship or known your significant other, the mask starts to wear away, which, you know, the mask is associated with the love addict stage. And then you start to see the mirror. And remember, I say, you've heard me say this before, God does not intend for your marriage to make you happy. He intends for it to make you holy. You've also heard me say that your marriage is a mirror, and stage two is the mirror stage. Now, here's an important concept to remember. As humans, we are wired for both connection and protection. That goes hand in hand with what it means to be a human. So, depending on what stage of your marriage you are in, you will either be more prone to connecting with your spouse or protecting yourself from your spouse, especially if they didn't do a good job at creating the safe place. Now, usually, if we feel threatened or if we feel unsafe, we protect ourselves from being vulnerable. This notion is extremely true at this stage in your relationship. Here's something that I want you to remember. Men usually have two areas of vulnerability. So wives, if you're married to a husband, these two things you want to remember. Husbands, remember these two things, okay? We usually have two areas of vulnerability. And in marriage, these things are heightened the most. And women usually have one. Even with this truth, you may find, no matter if you're a man or a woman, that you have all three. So men are the most vulnerable when they feel criticized or when they feel incompetent. Women, on the other hand, feel the most vulnerable when they don't feel connected. And remember, you've heard me say men marry for the validation of their masculinity and to feel significant. And if they're criticized or if they feel incompetent, I would even add inadequate, then they're not going to feel validated and they're not going to feel significant. They're going to feel insignificant. And women, they desire connection. Their fear is usually centered on the question, do you still care about me? Right? And for a husband, his fear is centered on the question, how do you see me? Right? And in relationships, there are three main ways that both men and women react to the conflict of feeling vulnerable when they're not safe. Okay? So here's how they react. They either fight, flee, or freeze. Now, you may be wondering, how do we go from being head over heels in love to this destructive power struggle where we are both left feeling threatened and unsafe? The answer is this. We fall in love with certain qualities, but over time, those qualities begin to annoy us. So instead of seeing all of the ways that we fit together, all of the ways that we're compatible, as we did in the first stage, now we see all of the ways that we are different. And on a deeper level, we begin to see our true selves reflected back to us when we look at our spouse instead of the mask that we wore when we first met them. I hope you got that. So again, we start to see our reflection. And remember, if you listen to any of the previous episodes, I talked about that we have those three versions of ourselves, our true self, our ideal self, and our disowned self. Well, at this stage of the relationship, we start to get a lot of our true and disowned traits reflected back to us when we look at our spouse. This is why it's called the mirror stage, right? Now we start noticing that the other person is not us. They have habits and demands and desires that are different and in some ways a stark contrast to who we are and what we first saw when we met them. Now, we don't feel validated when we look at them. Instead, we get what we call cognitive dissonance. We get doubts and we start to feel reluctant about the relationship. So I want you to think about this, right? So remember, this is the mirror stage. If you look at them in the first stage, you're head over heels, you're smitten, you're in love. But you start looking at them in the second stage, you're going to start getting a reflection back to you of someone that you probably don't like. And what we often do is we start to see them as the reflection that we're getting back instead of seeing our reflection. And this is often what leads to the third stage of marriage. Now, I will say this before I move on about this stage. Just because you feel some level of reluctance doesn't necessarily mean that you react to it. And I have found, just hear me out, men tend to react to this stage more than women do. Now, women will feel this. They will even have some sense of displeasure and even some level of resentment because you are different now than who you used to be. But because women marry for connection, they tend to stick it out. They tend to push through this. Whereas men, dudes, we say, look, now, if I'm not getting what I want, if I don't feel validated, if I don't feel significant, maybe, perhaps I made the wrong choice. And again, I could spend time talking about this, but I did a whole podcast on the psychology of a reluctant spouse. So go and check that one out if you need more information. But just know men struggle with this second stage more than women. I've also found women tend to marry potential. So in the first stage, they get a glimpse of what the future will look like. And so they marry towards the future. Men marry the present. And so in the first stage, this is who you showed up as. This is who I'm marrying. Not nobody else. Not the person that's going to get baby weight. That's the person that's going to get wrinkles. Not the person that's going to lose their desire to have a nightlife. Or, you know, they ain't looking for that person. They marrying the person that they saw at the front of the church when they said, I do. So men tend to marry the present. And when the present moves and the person changes, they are stuck. They not stuck with the person. They're stuck in the past. And so this is why they often struggle, because who you are becoming is no longer validating who I am, because it's not who I married. It's not who you used to be, right? And so this often leads to the third stage. And I'm not going to talk about all six again today. I'm just going to do these first three. So let's see if I can stick to 30 minutes. Y'all know how I get down. But anyway, let me go and talk about the third stage. This stage is called the reluctant stage. Now, this stage is a byproduct of what happens in stage two. Remember how we discussed the fact that we all wear masks in our relationships, right? That's the part, that's the first stage. We come looking pretty, looking beautiful. We well put together, clean shaven. Breath smell good, no body odor, no stains on my shirt. I'm all together, but let the mask wear away. You're going to see the true self, okay? And those masks are our ideal selves, or who we want others to see us as. And as the masks start to wear off, our true selves are revealed. Now, your true self is full of bad habits that you are often embarrassed by. This is the person that you are insecure about and you seek to keep hidden. And as you begin to see this image, your true self reflected back to you when you look at your spouse, well, you lose the sense of excitement and joy and pleasure that you once had when beholding your partner. Because again, you're not really seeing them reflected back to you so much as you're seeing your true self. Because you guys, the mask on both of y'all are starting to wear off. And instead, you get a strong sense of insecurity and discomfort. You lose the sense of validation that you once experienced, and you start to feel the need to protect yourself from being exposed, from being hurt, from being disappointed, for not having your expectations met. And y'all just heard me talk about in a previous episode the importance of expectations, right? Now, you don't feel safe and secure with this person. Now, you feel the need to protect yourself. Right? We go into this coping stage, and stage three is really about coping with what you don't get or with what you thought you had, but you no longer see. Now, of course, this process is more subconscious and is not something that you're overtly thinking about for the most part. Instead, you rationalize that your partner has started to change, that they are no longer interested in loving you selflessly. Only in instead loving themselves and validating themselves. See, in stage three, instead of seeing all the ways that you fit together, you begin to see all the ways that you guys are extremely different. So now we're no longer compatible. Now we no longer share a strong connection. Now you don't seem to be interested. You work too much. You're too busy. You're too focused. You're too worried. You're too stressed. Right now, we see all of those habits. Instead of seeing what's right, you begin to only see what is wrong with the relationship. Think of it like this. The very things that you loved about this person to begin with, they become the very things that drive you apart, right? So you used to like the fact that they were driven and they had a strong sense of leadership, but now they're controlling, they're bossy, or they work too much. They spend too much time focusing on other people's problems, right? That's just an example. Here's another one. When you first met them, they were energetic. They were extremely spontaneous. They were extremely outgoing. They had a carefree attitude about themselves and were unbothered by most things. But now they seem to be too apathetic, too spontaneous. They don't really care about most things. They don't take things seriously. So now when there needs to be structure, you feel that they can't contribute. And as a result, the issue becomes problematic and painful because they were spontaneous and now they're too carefree. They don't care. They don't take things serious. We need structure. We need discipline. What are you doing? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your life? You seem like you don't really care. You're just spending all this time on social media, even though that's where we met, right? Like now you want them to be more structured, but they're not. Okay. And I have found that most people don't want out of the relationship. They want out of the pain that is produced by this process. They don't want to be in this stage anymore because it's painful. So think of it from that standpoint. Here's another interesting note about this stage. So two points start to emerge out of the conflicts that people experience because this stage is usually when there's the conflicts that start to come up. And so if the first stage happens in the first 3 years of marriage, the second stage usually happens around 3 or 4. And this is like between 4 and 5. You know, you've heard people say, if you can make it past 5 years, you've done something. It's because this is around that stage where you are entering into the reluctant stage. So here's two points of conflict that I want you to keep in mind. The first is the incorrect belief that our happiness and the success of the relationship are determined by what our spouse says and does. This thought, as you can tell, is extremely dangerous because it keeps the focus off of you changing and places it only on your partner. Now, the harsh reality is all relationship change begins with you. This is truth, right? This is something that you cannot overlook and shouldn't overlook. And it's a powerful paradigm to have if you are looking to truly impact your relationship and your overall personal well-being in a positive way. Now, the second point that I want you to keep in mind is that many of the conflicts, both small and large, that we face in this third stage can't be resolved until we put serious time and energy into our relationships. That means that it is very possible for you to get stuck in this reluctant stage, as getting out of it means that you have been intentional about getting out of it, right? Now, again, try not to be too wordy. A lot of times you get stuck and you think that it's just going to change on its own, when really change starts with you being intentional. You have to be intentional about getting unstuck. Otherwise, you will stay stuck. Speaking of getting stuck, there are 7 different issues that often arise while you're in this third stage. Now, let me briefly go over these 7 and then I'm going to wrap up here. So the first issue is boredom. I've seen that the reluctant stage can happen because perhaps we get into a routine of life. Perhaps we get married, we settle down, we have kids, and then we get bored, or we get into a rut, or we get into a routine. And perhaps this season feels different than how things were when we first got together. Newsflash, it's going to feel different. That's how it happens. So a lot of times people mistake settling into marriage as boredom, right? This is where people feel life gets too predictable, where, like I said, you get stuck in a rut. And so just be mindful that this is an issue that can come up. A second one is depression. And this is a byproduct of being stuck for too long without having your high expectations of marriage answered in the first place. So you will actually start to feel depressed and then react because of the fact that what I expected to happen is not happening. Another one, number 3, is betrayal. This happens when spouses shift from loving unconditionally to loving conditionally. And most affairs happen at this point, right at the third stage of marriage, the reluctant stage, which is often why we have reluctant spouses, okay? And the fourth issue that often comes up is eggshell walking. Now, this is when you begin to walk on eggshells so that you don't set off the other person. And all of the unspoken conflicts that have been built up over time create landmines that you must carefully walk around in order to avoid setting them off. And this is what we call eggshell walking. Well, now we just got too many things that we did not discuss because we have not been incorporating a healthy habit of communication. And now I got a bunch of issues with you that I'm not even talking about. And you don't know. And now I got to walk on eggshells so I don't always bring it up, because every time I bring something up, you think we're arguing. So now I got to walk on eggshells. Now you got to walk on eggshells because you notice that I'm frustrated with every little thing you do. And now you're trying to be as careful as you can possibly be to not disrupt the connection, right? This is how eggshell walking looks. The fifth issue is the missing connection. And this is where the connection that you once shared goes missing. And the seven areas of intimacy that I discussed, and you've heard me talk about this before, those areas go neglected. And often it happens because people think that the first stage, the love addict stage, is supposed to last forever. So they don't even work. They don't even put in work to maintain certain things because, well, it just used to happen seamlessly on automatic. Now I feel like I got to work at it. And if it's love, I should not have to work. If it's really real, I should not have to work this hard. It should not have to hurt, right? I usually hear that statement. The sixth issue is volcano syndrome. And in this stage, it is very easy to let things pile up. Remember the eggshell walking principle, right? Remember that thing. Well, if I'm letting things pile up, especially if I'm an eggshell walker, then as a result, there comes a tipping point where you simply can't hold things in anymore. And all of your unspoken expectations, all of your unspoken emotions, all of your unspoken thoughts that you've been bottling up, they come streaming out, right? And that's why we call that volcano syndrome. And then lastly, the seventh issue is irritability. And this is when your emotions become extremely volatile to the extent that your mood changes with the weather. One day you're up, the next day you're down. And usually, if you're an eggshell walker, you're going to have a lot of irritability because there are things that you would like to say that you've been holding in. Now you got an attitude. Now you're walking around tense and anxious and irritable and moody because you ain't been enforcing effective communication skills. So these are seven issues that usually intensify the reluctant stage, forcing most people to finally get to a point where you have to make a decision about the relationship in order to find happiness again. And this leads us to the fourth stage of marriage. Now, I'm not going to do the fourth stage right now because I'll be here for a whole nother 30 minutes to an hour and I'm already at 37 minutes. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wrap up here. We're just going to pause the topic for now. Your homework is just to review these first three stages. That's all I want you to do. Review these first three stages and see if these stages match where you are. See where you are. Are you in stage one? Are you in stage two? Or are you in stage three? And if you're not, it's probably because you're in stage four, five, or six. And in that case, next week, we're going to cover those last three stages. So for now, process this information, take your notes, check in with your spouse, be honest, okay? Because I want you to make sure that you're aware of this. And once we bring all this to a head, I'll talk about, like, what do you do? How do you manage these stages if you're there, okay? But for now, I just want you to know what these stages are. Actually, you know what? Let me be honest. Hopefully, I have time in the next podcast to go over how do you manage these stages. If I don't, come to our Mastering Marriage workshops, and you'll get all of this times 1,000, because we're going to go really deep, really deep. But anyway, here's what I want you guys to do. If you have not subscribed to this podcast, please go and subscribe. You can go to CastBox, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, anywhere that you get your podcast episodes, go and download and then subscribe. Share this with someone else. I want you to make sure that you're sharing the wealth, spreading this information out there to others who may need it. And I also want you to, you know, send in your questions or your comments if you have them, okay? Otherwise, that's it for today. We're going to be done. See? It's easy. Quick and easy. And We just talked about the first three stages of the six stages of marriage. In episode 16, we're going to go and do the last three stages, and then we're going to go and move to something completely different in episode 17. So for now, I just want to say thank you for showing up to the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast. And I appreciate you for your attention to detail, for focusing, for coming prepared. And I want you to join me on episode 15, where we're going to wrap up this discussion. Also, do me a favor, make sure that you are leaving me an honest rating and review. You know what? I might have to start reading my reviews, because those, man, there was one that just touched my heart and I really want to read it. So I'll probably read that one next episode, because it was really, really powerful. But go to your podcast subscriber and leave me a rating and review, okay? Otherwise, I'll look forward to speaking with you guys in a week. Stay focused, stay strategic, study, and I'll talk to y'all soon. Deuces.
Thanks for stopping by for your seat on the couch at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Remember, go to marriagecounselorscorner.com to schedule your next session. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you never miss a session. We look forward to having you back on the couch soon. Bye-bye now.